You're listening to SBS News.
For more than 20 years, climate scientist Professor David Karoly at the University of Melbourne has been tracking the impacts of extreme weather events. In the last 12 months, he says the frequency and intensification of extreme weather events has reached a new level.
The extreme weather events that have been happening, not just this year, but certainly increases in extreme weather events that have occurred over the last 10 years, not only in Australia, but in Europe, in North America, in South America, in Asia and in Africa, are all directly linked to increases in global temperatures.
The findings are contained in a new report he's helped to co-author by the Climate Council of Australia, released ahead of the UN Climate Summit in Egypt. Entitled Australia's Global Climate Reset, the report finds that drastic action is needed to reduce the trajectory of global warming. Professor Karoly says each fraction of a degree of global warming that can be limited is going to make a difference.
We can still have a major impact on reducing greenhouse gas emissions and then having an impact in reducing future changes in weather and climate extremes, but that's only going to be possible if we slow down greenhouse gas emissions, not only in Australia, but globally, because every fraction of a degree of global warming adds to the frequency and intensity of many of these climate extremes.
Australia is committed to a 2030 emissions reduction target of 43%, which still remains lower than 2030 goals of the UK of 68% and the US goal of up to 52%. The Climate Council says the science shows Australia's 2030 target needs to be lifted to at least 75% emissions reduction. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will not be attending the summit in Egypt, with Climate Change Minister Chris Bowen to lead the Australian delegation. The delegation will be pushing the campaign for Australia to jointly host the UN Climate Summit in 2024, alongside Pacific Island nations. Co-author of the Climate Council's new report, Dr. Wesley Morgan, says this year's summit, also known as COP27, will be an exercise in diplomacy, where Australia's reputation on climate change will be under scrutiny.
I think other nations will welcome the idea of Australia hosting the UN Climate Summit and co-hosting it with Pacific Island countries. That would be the first time Australia has ever hosted the UN Climate Summit, and it would be the largest diplomatic event we've ever hosted in this country. But if we're to win the bid to host the UN Climate Summit, other countries, including our Pacific neighbours, will be looking for Australia to do more to show that it is willing to end support for new fossil fuel projects and also increase support for developing countries to deal with the impacts of the climate crisis.
Pacific Island nations have urged the new Albanese government to ban new gas or coal projects, calling on Australia to see climate change as the number one security issue for the region. Dr. Morgan says resetting relations between Australia and Pacific Island nations will depend significantly on whether Australia delivers on the ambition in climate action being called for.
But at the moment, we're not really walking the talk. Australia, We have a new 2030 target, which is a terrific start, but we're still behind most developed countries, including our key allies. And Australia remains the world's third largest fossil fuel exporter after Saudi Arabia and Russia. And Australia is at the moment planning to expand coal and gas exports.
Arthur Wins, policy manager at the Climate and Health Alliance, is attending COP27. As a former climate advisor to the World Health Organization, he says he'll be looking to see real action taken to recognise the global health impacts arising from climate change.
We're seeing this with food insecurity that's growing. We're seeing this with people being displaced from their homes. We're seeing that with increasing mental health impact. So the link between climate change and our own well-being, our own health, is increasingly well understood. So well even that the World Health Organization is now calling climate change the greatest threat to human health in the 21st century. So that's, again, what we'll be looking at this summit as well, how we can help prepare the healthcare sector in particular to deal with these climate impacts and make sure that we all can live healthy, safe lives in an increasingly warming world, an increasingly more dangerous world.
He says climate financing for poorer nations will also be in the spotlight.
At the same time, the summit is happening in Africa and in Egypt this year, so there's a strong theme around supporting Africa as one of the most vulnerable continents. And on top of that, there's also quite a strong push around increasing ambition. So summit after summit, we've heard a lot of countries make big promises, but there's still quite a big gap between what is needed to meet the goals of the Paris Agreement and what countries actually have promised.
The global climate finance target is supposed to be $157 billion a year. Analysis released this month by the UN Environment Programme found that developing nations need 5 to 10 times more international adaptation finance than wealthier countries are providing. The Climate Council's latest report calculates Australia should be increasing its contribution in this area by about tenfold to at least $4 billion a year. Based on Australia's economic capability and historical contributions to emissions. Dr. Morgan says one of his yardsticks of success at this year's COP will be to see progress on climate finance.
Countries don't give climate finance just as a feel-good exercise. It's a means of ensuring global trust, that countries are able to cooperate together to shift as a global economy. You know, we can't solve climate change just by heading towards net zero in rich nations alone. We need to be helping the whole developing world, otherwise we're not going to get there.
In its latest assessment of emission targets, the UN Environment Programme found that the world is on track to exceed the Paris Agreement goal of limiting global warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius. Instead, the world is headed for a temperature rise of between 2.4 and 2.6 degrees Celsius by 2100. Global warming is already at 1.1 degrees Celsius. Professor Karoly says that should drive a renewed urgency to act.
Certainly, I think that recognise that we have a major problem, but recognise also that if we all work together to maximise the opportunities, we can build out of this a new Australian and a new global economy. Look, the shift from landline telephones to mobile phones happened really, really quickly. We've seen the start of the transition to renewable energy. What Australia needs to do is to shift everything to renewable energy as the power that drives the new economy.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.